Good morning. All right, it's Joshua 23. Get your Bibles out, your devices out, whatever you're gonna look at. We're gonna walk through the text. Pull out your journal if you're one of our students and you're taking notes. And I want you to think about this question. What do you cling to? Because we all cling to something. And so today as we walk through this text, we're gonna get it on both sides. The text is going to tell us to cling to the Lord and not to cling to the nations or the things of this world. And yet every single day when we wake up, we're clinging to something. And so I want you in your minds to go ahead and start thinking, what do you cling to? What do you spend most of your time desiring to hold on to and not let go of? What do you cling to? Have you ever seen a mom running with a baby? Maybe they're running from danger. Maybe they're, I don't know what they're doing, but you see these images and there's this clinging, like it's like both arms wrapped tight, clinging. Have you ever seen a child clinging to the blanket? Okay. How many of you were the child clinging to the blanket that you never let go of? Raise your hand. Come on, I want to see. Some of you are lying. You know you were. You know, one of my children, I still have a piece of the blanket. Like the blanket disintegrated. Like it was drug everywhere. But I have a square that's about this big that's left in my desk drawer. Yeah, y'all know I'm weird. It's all right. But I love my kids. I don't know. That blanket reminds me of that age of life and that station. And so, yeah. How many of you are the introverts that when you went with your parents into a group of people that you didn't know, your first inclination was to grab a hold of mom or dad's leg and to bury your face into the side of their thigh and hide as much of your body behind them as you possibly could because you thought, if I can't see them, they can't see me, and you would disappear into your parents' leg. All right, who's there? There's a few of you a little more willing to agree to that. How many of you had the bear? Or the stuffed animal, or whatever it may have been. Okay, come on, I see y'all moving in. You still have them. They're in your dorm rooms right now. We could go do a room check because I see you moving them in. And you're like, what do you do with the bear? Don't ask me about my bear. And you have a name for it too. So on the count of three, everybody yell out the name of your favorite stuffed animal that you still cling to when you really need something to cling to. One, two, three. You know exactly where I'm headed with this then. You are clinging to something. What? Why do you cling to a bear that's 20 years old? It's falling apart. Gosh, we had one. We had to sew the ear because one of the dogs bit the ear off. And it's like, what do you do? It's surgery time, baby. I mean, I'm a doctor. I can perform surgery. So we get out. I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding. What do you cling to? Do you get where I'm going with this? And there are some things we cling to in this life that are superficial and silly, and they still bring us comfort, and that's fine. We cling to a blanket. We cling to a bear. Maybe you've lost a grandpa or grandma. I have my grandpa's knife, his Bible, and his glasses sitting on a shelf in my office at the house. I have no clue why I have his glasses. Maybe I'm gonna wear them one day. I don't know. But they are huge. I mean, like the lenses are like this thick. I mean, it's like, could he see? Like if he took them off, I never thought about it, but it was grandpa's. And when grandpa passed away, it's like, I want that. Why did I want glasses? It didn't mean anything, but that was a way that I was trying to cling to something I didn't want to lose. You get it, right? You understand it. This is what we do in life. We cling to things. The problem is sometimes we're clinging to possessions, or we're clinging to dreams that are never gonna happen, or we're clinging to influence or power. We cling to stuff all the time we shouldn't be clinging to because it won't last. We are trying to cling to the sands of the seashore, and the more we try to grab tight, the more they just fall right through our fingers and disappear. There's sometimes it's really more important to cling to things than others. All right, how many of you have seen Free Solo? Oh, not that many. Okay, Free Solo, you should watch it. It will drive you crazy if you're scared of heights. Alex and Old, something's wrong with him. I'm just telling y'all. No offense, Alex, but There actually is. They've like studied his brain, and like the thing that's supposed to give you fear, he doesn't have as much of as the rest of us. Some of you have more of it than others, but he free climbed. If you're free climbing, the people that were watching him, videoing from below, when he got to the really, to the point where it was just incredible that he was able to do it, they looked away because they were afraid they were gonna see him not be able to cling to a rock and fall to his death. What do you cling to? Okay, maybe this gets a little too, well, I'll give you a fun one before I do that. My dogs, I have one, it's a German Shepherd. His name's Duchess, which that's my wife just doing. Yeah. His name should have been Ahsoka because it's got the ears for it. But I have a German Shepherd whose name is Duchess. One crack of lightning and thunder, and you know what she's clinging to? The nearest human. This is supposed to be like the dog that defends the house, and yet you get one crack of thunder, and all of a sudden that dog is like, hide. And then coming up with paws, like big old dog, like on your lap. Can I get in your lap? You're 60 pounds. Get off me, dog. What are you doing? How many of you have those dogs? You have them? Yep. Okay. And some of you have those little bitty dogs. They really can't get in your lap. It's okay. In the room, we may have some parents clinging to a child who has or is about to go away to college. Sorry. In the room, we may have some students who are still clinging to life back home. It's hard, isn't it? Especially when you love your family and it's a good family, it's hard. Some of you in the room are young couples and you're clinging to each other, perhaps a little too tightly at times. Leave room for Jesus. I'm just saying. That's why it gets a clap. That's funny. All right. We cling to dreams. We cling to comfort. We cling to what's easy. We cling to what we know. We cling to bad habits. I shouldn't do that. I don't care. Oh, I'm in the boat with you, okay? Like, if you ever want to see it when you come over to my house, there is always a jar of peanut M&Ms and a huge 5-pound bag of Smarties in my drawer right next to my desk, because when it gets really stressful, I shouldn't eat Smarties. They're horrible. Don't eat those things. They're really bad for you. It's pure sugar. It's awful. But I'm still eating some. We cling to all these things, right? Mediocrity, anger. Oh, anger. Sometimes we cling to a sin that we're comfortable with because every time something bad happens, we go back to what we know. We don't want to, but we do. And here's what the text is going to tell us. Don't cling to all those things. Cling to the Lord. So your main idea, if you're writing it down, is cling to the Lord and not to the things of this world. Now let's walk through our text. Cling to the Lord and not the things of this world. Here's your text, and here's the way I've outlined it. Now, it's going to talk about what the Lord has done. It's going to talk about what we're supposed to do. I've broken it down in that way. But your main 3 points, cling to the Lord, love the Lord, trust the Lord. Like, those are your 3 main points. Those are your 3 main takeaways. So now we walk through this text. As we walk through the text, I'll make a few comments, and then we'll get to some application here at the end. Chapter 23, verse 1. This is the second speech. Remember in the first speech, in chapter 22, Joshua talks to the people who are going back on the eastern side, and he gives them 5 things. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, cling to him. All right, we're going to hear that again. Cling to him. It says in 22 verse 5, if you want to underline it, and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So love the Lord your God and cling to him. It's in the last speech. Now he's giving you the second speech. And the Holy Spirit, speaking through him, has recorded these words, not just for the children of Israel after they were in battle, but to all of us. And what is being recognized here is it's much easier to cling to the Lord during a hard time than it is during an easy time. During a hard time, when I know I can't do it, I'm leaning on the Lord. During the easy times, when I'm on the mountaintop and I think I've got it covered, I tend to push away from the Lord because I got it covered. I don't need to go to the Lord. And then I realize, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because now I'm back down into the valley and I need to cling to the Lord. Second speech, a long time afterwards. How long? We don't know. We know he was old when he died. It was probably 20 plus years since they crossed the Jordan. We don't know exactly what the time frame is. But a long time after, when the Lord had given rest, that's one of the promises. The Lord gave rest to Israel from all of their surrounding enemies. And Joshua was old and well advanced in years. He was old. He knew he was old. That's actually in our text. And he was still telling people what they should do because he is farther down the journey than we are. So we listen here to somebody who is telling us, as he's farther down the road, exactly what we need to know at our station in life. He's old and well advanced in years. Joshua summoned all of Israel, its elders, its heads, its judges, and its officers. So first speech to the tribes who are leaving. Second speech, all the leaders. Third speech, next time, to everybody. And there's a response. Second speech to the leaders. He gets them all together and he says to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. Like, thank you, Captain Obvious. We see your thick glasses and we see it. We know you're there. And the scriptures already told us, but it's repeating it. It's old. So this is the second speech. So then we move into what God has done, because that's what he rehearses when he starts. In verse 3, and you have all seen it. You all know it. You know what? We've seen it too. Because we have walked through the book of Joshua. We have read of what the Lord has done. We know what the Lord has accomplished. And so he says to them, you've seen it. You have all seen it. In this text, the Lord your God, or pronouns for the Lord your God, are in here like 13 times in one chapter. It's offset by the nations, which is repeated. Good is repeated. Evil is there. And so the Lord does all this work. The Lord your God has done to all these nations. You see the offset here. The Lord has done it to these nations. It is the punishment. They had plenty of time to repent. They didn't. Ultimately, the Lord will keep his word and will destroy those who are enemies of him. He did it to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God. Repetition. God has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you the inheritance for your tribes of those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off from the Jordan to the Great Sea to the west. The Lord your God will push them back. Any remaining, he's going to push them out before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. This is what God has done. Lest we forget, what did God do? Well, they put a foot in the Jordan River and the water stood up. They walked across on dry ground. They marched around the city and the walls fell down. They go up to battle against five nations that they obviously cannot overcome. And the Lord says, I got you covered. And he throws down some cosmic hailstones and takes out more people than they did with the sword. Unless they get away to their fortified cities, he says to the sun, stand still in the sky, and prolongs the day. He takes the hornets and drives out more people than what Israel has actually accomplished in all of their efforts and their battles. The Lord has done it. What has the Lord done? The Lord came to this earth born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, sinless, went to a cross and died in my place and for my sake, bearing the penalty that I deserved. And then he goes to the grave and gets up from the grave and conquers the death that we all deserve. And then he's going to heaven and coming again. He has already done it. So now we come to my response. How do I respond to this then? Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right. We're not going to legalism. Neither to the left. We're not going to license. We're not going either one. We want to know the word, meditate on the word, read the word, be so saturated in the word that the word just comes out of us as we're having conversations. And we want to make sure that we are so ingrained into the word that that's just what we do. We think Bible, we bleed Bible when we're cut. We want to be people of the book. So there we go. That's what we do. That you may not mix with these nations. Don't mix with them. And then it goes on. or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. Okay, don't miss it. We're to cling to the Lord. How do we do this? I've got four things for you. Keep and do God's commandments. No Bible, no breakfast. You need to be in the Word. Listen to me, students, I love you. This is not legalism. This is not a burden. This is not something I'm trying to put on you. If you do not develop a consistent time where you are in the Word regularly, you cannot live a productive, happy Christian life. You cannot serve the Lord faithfully if you are not in the Word, because you won't know the Lord. You won't be able to walk with the Lord. You won't be able to cling to the Lord. And so you don't read the Bible as a checklist. You read the Bible to get to know the Lord that loves you and that has done all these things for you. Read the Word. Turn to it, neither to the right or to the left. And then look at what he says about these gods of these other nations. Don't mention them. Don't swear by them. Don't serve them. Don't bow down to them. You know, it's the same idols that they were involved in that our society is also involved in too, right? I mean, the idols and the temptations really don't change. It's possessions, it's power, it's money, it's sex, it's pleasure. It's all the same stuff. You just put different names on it. And it's way back there, so we look at them differently. But we recognize that what the Lord is saying to us here through the text is we are not to push ourselves to cling to the world in such a way that we're longing for it, that we're mentioning it, that we're swearing by it, that we're engaged in it, that we're addicted to it, that we bow down to it, that we think it is what provides us happiness rather than the one true God. So we cling to the Lord. The text goes on. It says, cling to the Lord just as you have done to this day. In battle, it's easy. I'm about to die. Better cling to the Lord. I need help. Hailstones, thank you. All right. Now it's easy. He sees it coming. We're getting lazy. We lay back. Verse 9, what the Lord has done, we're at it. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. As for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. Not one of you, just one of you, puts 1,000 to flight. Since it's the Lord your God, it's not about you. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You're not great. It's not all about you. Don't get prideful. Don't well up. Like, stay humble before the Lord, because pride will cause you to get knocked down. He says that for you, one man can put to flight 1,000, because it's the Lord your God who fights for you just as he promised you. That's the second time he says just as he's promised you. We're going to come back. Be very careful, therefore. So how do we respond? Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. There's your second point. Love the Lord. How do we respond? We cling to the Lord. How do we cling to the Lord? We love the Lord. Listen, y'all, I don't have to tell young couples who are in the infatuation stage how to cling to each other. You don't. It just happens. I have to tell you how to get away from each other. Spend some time with your friends. Chill out a little bit. Calm down. Just have fun. Like, I don't have to tell you what that looks like, because you know. Do you cling to God in the same way? This is what our text is saying to us. Cling to him. And he's saying to us, love him. Therefore, love the Lord your God. Now, here comes a warning. There is a warning in here. You should love the Lord your God, and if you don't, dot, 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 here it comes. For if you turn back and do what? Cling, say it with me, cling. If I cling to the remnant of these nations, remember they're offset from God, it's God and the nations. If I cling to the nations remaining among you, so if, what does that mean? What does it mean to cling to the nations? If I make marriages with them so that I associate with them, know for certain, here's your punishment, here's what happens. The Lord your God will no longer drive them out, the nations before you. There'll be a snare, there'll be a trap, there'll be whips, there'll be thorns in your eye until you perish off the good ground that the Lord your God has given you. So here's what I want you to see. Point number two is love the Lord or else. We don't like the or else. Joshua's not seeking to be a popular speaker here. There's no alliteration used. This is a warning. It's a warning for us too. When we get cocky and think, I got it covered, I don't have to rely on the Lord, I don't need to cling to the Lord, I don't need to love the Lord, I got this covered. I got this life. I can handle it. I'm going to put one foot in the world and I'm going to put one foot in the church. And it's like putting one foot in a boat and one foot on land. And it is not going to work. And you are going to end up all wet. So here's what he tells us. If you're going to do that. So warning to you. You've been at Cedarville 900 and whatever days. And you're like, hey, I'm good. I don't need to see more. I've heard too many sermons. I'm ready. I'm done. Okay, good for you. You better get plugged into a local church. You better keep no Bible, no breakfast. You better stay in the Word. You better love the Lord, because if you don't, look, he's telling Israel, the Lord will no longer help you to drive out the enemies. This is what happens in Judges. We know that. We've read it. This is what's coming. So I'm going to cling to the world. So you want a snare, not a snare drum. You want a snare. What is a snare? A snare is something that catches a bird or an animal so that it can be killed and eaten. You want a trap. It's going to be a trap for you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to be a whip on your sides. I don't want a whip on my sides. That does not sound pleasant to me. It's going to be a thorn in my eye. That sounds even worse. I get a speck of dirt in my eye and I turn into like a little baby. I turn into like a little ball. I mean, it's like, leave me alone. Don't get close. Oh, I gotta be here. Oh, hold on. What's going on? Oh, I don't like this. You start doing all these goofy things about trying to get your finger in between your eyelashes and, oh, I can get it out. And then somebody's like, let me help you. No, you're not getting that close to my eye. Back up. Personal space. Don't touch my eyes. You ever been there? So how many of you want a thorn in your eye? I don't want a thorn anywhere in my body, much less in my eye. Okay, so love the Lord. He didn't choose these words on accident. This is a warning to all of us. And then he says to you, lose it all. You perished off the good ground. All right, so what has the Lord done? We're back to it again. It's back and forth here. We go to verse 14. What has the Lord done? This is Grandpa. This is Grandpa in the hospital bed, laying there, a man that was a man's man that is at the end of life, and he says, come here, boy. And you come over to Grandpa, and Grandpa says to you, look, I'm about to die. You be strong in the Lord. These are the last words. He knows his time on this earth is short. And the famous last words, the dying last words, the things that mean the most, he says, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know in your heart and in your soul, all of you, that not one word has failed. Every single word. Listen, I think this is it. I think this is the point of the whole book. Why do we get in nauseating detail all of the different land? It's because God promised he would give it to them. And it tells us about every square inch of the land because every single word of the Lord matters. So who are you going to trust? Are you going to cling to this world and the shifting sands? Or are you going to cling to the God who cannot lie? Oh, come on. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know in your hearts and soul that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord has promised you. All of it has come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. Oh, but here he turns to the warning. But just as the Lord kept his promises and all those good things, the Lord your God promised you, he fulfilled them for you. So the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, that covenant which he commanded you, you go and serve other gods, you bow down to them, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and you will perish quickly from off the good land he has given you. Listen, I want you to flourish. I want you to do more than you could ever think or imagine for God and his glory and his kingdom. I want you to have great joy in life. I want you to love living life. I want everything to go well for you. And for things to go well for you, you need to love the Lord. You need to cling to the Lord. You need to trust the Lord. This is his guidebook for how we should live this life. This world will tell you lies and deceive you and trap you and snare you and whip you and destroy you. Trust the book. Get to know the God of the book and cling to him. Look at the repetition here. Not one word has failed. all have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. All the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled. So if God is for us, who can be against us? God has promised to be with you. He's promised he won't forsake you. All of his words are true. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to cling to? You cling to the Lord. All right, let me get to my application here. Point number three, you trust the Lord. So this is your application. This is your take home. How do we trust the Lord? We meditate on his word day and night. You can't trust the Lord if you don't know what his word says. You don't know what his word is. So be in the word. Learn to love the word. If there are moments in your life where you're reading and you don't get anything out of it, it happens. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Holy Spirit who lives within you, who inspired the text of scripture, to help it come alive to you so that you understand and you apply it to your life in such a way that you just love to read the word of God and then live by it. It's not rocket science, but it's also not easy. It's day after day, one foot in front of the other, working out the salvation that God has already placed into you. That's what we do. Okay, here's one thing I see in here you may or may not like. Only date or marry believers. You see it here, right? The nations, don't intermarry with them. That's violating Deuteronomy 7. Don't do that. That's not allowed. Instead, you're gonna stay with those who serve the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand this. This is not about ethnicity. Moses married an Ethiopian. Rahab was brought into the lineage of Jesus. Later on, Ruth, the Moabitess, is brought into the lineage of Jesus. This is not about ethnicity or this is not about nationhood. This is about not dating or marrying somebody that doesn't serve the Lord, the one true God. This is what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians. You are not to be unequally yoked with somebody. So this is probably not most of you, but just give me a second because there may be one or two or three of you in the room who your thought process is, I'm evangelistic and I'm gonna date them because I'm gonna win them to Jesus and I'm gonna change them. You are not God. You cannot change them. And even though they will put up a false front because they think you're pretty and they wanna win and they wanna win you, you cannot change their hearts or their soul. God can, but you can't. And until they are a believer and a follower of Christ, do not date them. Because you only date if you think you're gonna marry, and you do not date them. You don't do casual, I don't care about this dating process because I don't have anything better to do. There's always something to do around here and always fun people to do it with. You're dating for the purpose. Don't date unbelievers. Okay, dead speech stopped. I apologize, but it's here. It's here, don't marry an unbeliever. Your kids are at stake. You say to me, I got this. This guy's an idiot. Give me one more moment. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, married a bunch of women that didn't believe in God and they turned his heart against God. He was the wisest person that ever lived. If you think you're wiser than Solomon, that's the pride that's waiting for the fall. Do not date, pray for them, share the gospel with them, be a friend to them, but do not date or marry unbelievers. If you're in the room dating an unbeliever, not married, hopefully that's not in the room. If you're in the room dating an unbeliever, pull out your cell phone and text them right now and break up with them. I told you to, okay? I know it's rude, I don't care, break up with them. Done. Dunsky's over, out, no way. I'm waiting on you, come on, get up. I wasn't kidding, get out the phone. All right, here's something, this is a challenge, this is to me too. Find an older mentor to speak into your life. I don't have time to get into a lot of these. I'm gonna take a moment to get into this one. So most of you are 18 to 22. 15 years from now, you're 35. How many of you can imagine in great detail what life at 35 is gonna be like? No, you can't. Okay, I'm over 50, just slightly, but I'm over 50. I can't remember what 35 was like. I tried. I sat down and thought, what is 35 like? 35? Oh, it's just a long time ago. So when you're at 20, you think everything's too big a deal. I promise you this, if you get nothing else, Nothing in life is as big a deal as you think it is right now. It'll be okay. A few more trips around the sun and it'll all be okay. So just chill. Calm down. Turn the temperature down. It's not as big a deal as you think it is. 35, 15 years. I'm looking back on it and having a hard time remembering it. There are people 15 years ahead of me or 20 years ahead of me. I can't imagine what that looks like. The wisest thing I can do is have friends that are at that point telling me what the road looks like so that I can prepare well for it. The wisest thing you can do at 18 to 20 is have people that would mentor you to tell you what the road will look like as you travel down it. And that's what we're here to try to do. Money, possession, sex, power. Those are still the idols. They always will be. Don't cling to them. They're a horrible master. Cling to the Lord. So this is the choice before you. This text mentions serve twice. He's prepping us for the next speech. You know what's coming in chapter 24. Who will you serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's giving you a little foreshadowing. Serve's mentioned here. If you serve those gods, bad news. If you serve those gods, bad news. And he mentions twice, cling to the Lord, don't cling to the nations. So here's your choice. This is your walk away. What are you going to cling to? Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to cling to you because you are the one that is worthy for us to cling to. You're the one that doesn't change. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the only one we can trust. You are faithful and we can trust you. So Lord, help us cling to you with all that we have every single day for your honor, your glory, and our great joy. In Jesus' name.